morning. It's good to see everyone this morning on this beautiful Christmas morning, and it's cold. It feels like Christmas, but we're just happy to be here. If you'd like to stand with us, we're going to sing Silent Night. It's page 366 if you need it in the book.
Be seated this morning, and Merry Christmas to you all, and to you all a cold day. How about that? It's brisk cold weather we've been having, and I just could not imagine having this over a long length of time, being so cold. But nonetheless, I'm thankful I don't live in Alaska, Antarctica. But I live right here in Powder Springs. I know it will come to pass. They said someday next week it's going to be in the 60s. And so we'll be fighting off the cold then from being sick. But anyway, so good to be here this morning. And thank you for coming out on Christmas Day to church to worship the Lord. And we've got a special service lined up this morning. We did some praying and thinking about it earlier this month, and we really wanted to fit in as much as we could into the month of December with different things, and of course preaching on Jesus all month, the memory tree in the back there, the candlelight service we had last Sunday night, and then of course communion. And we really did our best as a church body to just uplift the Lord during this month, and so I hope you've enjoyed what we've had this month. And as far as worship, worshiping the Lord during the month of December. And we will have communion here in just a little while. We got a couple announcements to make. Also, we're going to have a second run of the Christmas offering. Thanks to all who gave last Sunday and maybe even gave online and throughout the week. We appreciate that. And the Lord knows exactly who you are. And so we'll be doing that in just a moment. Brother David, y'all go ahead and come on down, come forward. And breaking the mold this morning, doing stuff a little different. You and Carter. I will say we're going to take up tithe and Christmas offering at one time. So if you have a Christmas offering, then make sure that's labeled Christmas offering. And if you need an envelope and you need to hurry and put your money in it, we got some envelopes. So does anybody need an envelope this morning? All right. All right. Well, we have some if you need those. So just remember that this morning. All right. Let me mention some things here, and then we'll pray. And I believe Miss Amanda's going to sing for the offerings this morning. We'd like for everyone to take their ornament home who has bought one and placed one on our memory tree. I won't say a whole lot about that. I have this month, but I hope it was meaningful to you, whoever did that. If you bought an ornament in the place of your loved one, I hope that did something for you. It's just a nice expression, I think, something we've always wanted to do. So take those home today. Let's see. Also, Mary Ann Sanvey on the 28th, which will be next Wednesday. She's having knee surgery, so please remember Miss Mary Ann Sanvey when you pray concerning her knee surgery. And then no service tonight. No midweek service this coming up week. But we will have our Sunday, January 1st, service next Sunday at 11 a.m., no p.m., and then we start brand new, fresh, full speed ahead on that Wednesday following. So remember that, and during this time of not having many services, just love on your family, love one another, worship the Lord wherever you go, and enjoy this time, because we will hit the ground running in the new year. All right. You glad you're here today? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you. Lord, it just feels so great to be here on this day. God, we know this is a special day that has been marked by the United States, a day to celebrate your birth, and many believe different things about when it was, what time of year it was. All that's irrelevant at this moment, because we worship you today, and we focus on your birth today, but we also focus on your life and the kind of life you lived. Lord, you turn your face to the smiters, those who spit on you, Lord, you blessed them. God, you did things so much differently than the human flesh likes to do. God, someone spits on us, we want to spit on them back. Lord, somebody hits us, we want to hit them back. But God, as we reflect upon your humility, oh Lord, help us ask for that. Help us, Lord, ask for that. Lord, I pray that through this month and our feeble efforts of trying to preach on you, Lord, that there was birthed within all of our hearts just a fresh desire for people to see Jesus in our life. But it will take surrender. It will take a little weariness of the flesh. But Father, this morning we also finished the story. We started in the manger scene, and God, we're traveling to the cross this morning, but then there's Resurrection Sunday. And Father, we have completed the life of Jesus this month, and we're so very thankful for that. Bless this offering. Bless the gift, the giver, and those given in a very special way. We love you. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth, they traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. And falling on their knees, they bowed before the humble Prince of Peace. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, will you receive the honor that you're due? Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, will you receive the honor that you're due? Oh, Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, will you receive the honor that you're due? Oh, Lord, I bring an offering to you. Oh, Lord, I bring an offering to you. With us again, we're going to sing Joy to the World, and that's page 408. Nature.
seated once again. All right. I see the deacons have already taken their place this morning. And thank you, men, for getting everything together. Had our little football huddle and corresponded last night a bit, working out a couple little things. And so we are looking forward to the next few moments. And just hope and pray that everyone has a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day, Christmas Day, as you leave today. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 for just a few moments this morning. 1 Corinthians 11. What I'd like to do, I'd like to give you a two-in-one today, or a two-for-one. We're going to observe communion, and within communion, we'll give the message this morning. And so, with the help of the Lord, I hope and I pray that He'll be pleased with this time, and we will be challenged, and we would be encouraged as well. Now, let me just say this before we go any further. We spent this entire month, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and even a couple Wednesdays, we spent the entire month of December preaching on Jesus, teaching on Jesus, mentioning just different aspects and different angles at the birth scene. And if we stopped there, we really wouldn't be finished, because that's the only part of the story, the birth of Christ. And praise the Lord for the birth of Christ. If it wasn't for Him fulfilling the Father's plan, and this plan before the foundation of the world that was set in place, if it wasn't for that, where would we be tonight, this morning rather? And so I thank God for the birth of Christ. But that's only part of the story. And I really think it's special as we finish up this last Sunday in December, finishing telling the other part of the story, the end part of the story of the birth of Christ. And so, before we go any further, I would like to ask the deacons, if they would, to go ahead and distribute the cup. This would be a two-for-one cup, like we used last time. And so at this time, the men will take their time doing that. We're in no rush. You see here that Paul is the writer of both epistles, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And this epistle, the first epistle, 1 Corinthians, is an epistle of correction. And so we see that in this particular chapter that Paul is correcting behavior concerning the Lord's table. And without going into every verse, we do see and we began to understand that many just came together and they brought their dinner. They just began to eat. They began to drink wine and be happy. But some were left lacking. Some were left hungry. And Paul says, those things you eat at home. And he begins to develop and unfold the proper instruction of partaking at the Lord's table. And so in verse number 23 down through verse number 26, we see Paul's precise plans. He lays it out very simply, right to the point. And so I want to begin reading in verse number 23, if I could. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.'" I want to stop there in verse number 26. And again, Paul is laying out instruction for the Lord's table on how to do it in a reverent way and that is God-honoring. And so what I want to do is first, before we go any further, I don't know if you remember or not, last year when we partook and observed communion with these cups, I know it's kind of dark in here, but there is a little film on the front, a little tab, and you peel that first one back, and then there's the little piece of bread, and then, of course, the second, and there's the cup. I know it's pretty much self-explanatory, but a lot of people want to know how to operate this. This little cup. So remember that. All right. I want you to notice the bread aspect. Verse number 23, the Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" So at this time, church, if you would work on that first part, removing the top layer. This has become a futuristic thing. And I want to say that the bread is symbolic to the body of Jesus, as the scripture said, that his body was broken for us. "This do ye in remembrance of me." Father, we love you today. We thank you for a body that was prepared before the foundations of this world, deposited into a virgin womb. And as we've been talking about all month and have others been teaching and reading in their own personal times of devotion at the age of 30, Lord, after going through times of development and understanding your plan, Lord, John the Baptist introduced you to this world as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Lord, you did miracles. You showed your power. Many did not believe you, so you spoke in parables, and that got down to their heart, and many were saved because of that. You went on, and you were beaten. You were battered, and all the rest of it, Lord, all the uglies of the flesh, and all that Satan and the demonic force of this world could do was dumped out upon you, and you went to the cross, Father. And we're so thankful for a body that was prepared and a body that was broke for you and I. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen. Everyone partake at this time. The cup verses. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Let me say this before we pray. This is the cup. I mentioned wine a few moments ago. There were some who actually brought alcohol and were getting drunken. But this is mentioned in the scriptures as a cup. It was not fermented. This cup represents the spotless, precious, pure, righteous blood of Jesus. And if you start to look at the process of fermentation, bacteria is involved. There is no bacteria in the precious blood of Jesus. If there was, we wouldn't. Number one, he couldn't redeem us. So today, we worship a Lord who had precious, spotless, perfect blood. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your blood that was shed upon the tree. Lord, the blood that's still flowing today down to the lowest valleys, reaching the vilest of sinners. But also this blood is for the wealthy, the rich, the educated, Lord. This blood this morning is for those who have PhDs and doctor degrees. Lord, this blood covers everyone from Genesis to Revelation, as it were. From the first Adam to the last Adam, everyone on the face of this earth, you died for. And so, Father, today, we just give you thanks for the precious blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Partake now of the cup. I think it's a very special thing to have communion on Christmas morning. That's wonderful. Thank you for being willing to do that this morning and coming on out. We're not going to keep you much longer. I do feel like that there needs to be a little more said this morning. Not just to say anything, but to actually try to be an encouragement. I believe I shared this the last time we had communion, observed communion. But I spoke about the four places to look at the Lord's table. And briefly, just this morning, just briefly, that's what I want to talk about, if I could. Four places to look at the Lord's table. Number one, we should look back. As we have communion and we partake the bread and the cup, it ought to be a time of looking back. Notice verse number 23 through 25, Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." We should look back to the life of Christ. We should look back to that body that was broken during this time. And we called attention to that when we partook of the bread being symbolic to the body of Christ that was broken, the cup being symbolic to the blood of Christ that was shed for us. And so this morning, it really, really, during this time of communion, that's why it's called observing communion, because it's a time of observation. And again, while it's Christmas morning, and while we're celebrating the birth of Christ, we have to finish the story this morning. Not only was he born, but he went on to fulfill the Father's plan and died upon the cross, and he was buried and he rose again on the third day. So we should look back to not only the birth of Christ, but his life, his body that was broken, his blood that was shed, and then his victorious resurrection this morning. Let us look back to him. You know, it's really something that, and I thought about this last night a little more in detail, spent some time, that in verse 25, the Lord wants us to remember his death. Remember his death. When death comes in our life, we don't like to think about it and dwell upon it. A loved one, and you know, death happens and death is sure. And if the Lord waits any longer, terrors is coming, we're all going by the way of the grave. And so typically at a funeral, a home going, the preacher would say, we are here to honor and celebrate the life of an individual. We're not here to celebrate the death. Of course, for a Christian, it is a time of celebration. But they say, we're here to celebrate the life. Jesus says, look at verse 25. He mentions the cup about midway through, letters in red. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. He said, you're dwelling on my death. I want you to think about it. And as often as you think about it, think of my body that was broken for you. I love you. Think about my blood that was shed for you. I love you. And so we look at this and we began to focus on the Lord and his body and his blood. And we really begin to see why he says, remember my death. In the book of John, chapter 15, he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There is no greater love than a man given sacrificially his physical life. And we have that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning we should look back. But number two, we should look ahead. We should look ahead. You know, we have to look ahead. When you're driving a car, from time to time, you'll look in the rear view. But you can't continue to look in the rear view as you're trying to move forward. There is a compartment in your mind. Compartmentalize. things. And so we have this compartment in our mind of Christ and His body and His blood. But then, in another compartment, we're thinking about the future. Notice verse number 26. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. So the Bible says that He's coming again. He is coming back for us. Those that are saved, those that have the assurance of heaven in their hearts, Jesus is coming back for us. And so we should observe the Lord's Supper till He come. We should look forward to His coming. I love what Brother Don Dendel says just about every time I see him, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I said, "How you doing, brother?" He says, "I'm doing great. Be doing even better if the Lord would come today." And, you know, I, being 40 years old, I would welcome His coming. I really would. I've tasted enough of life. I know what it takes to really move forward as a believer, as a dad, as a husband, as a pastor. And I want to tell you, it takes effort. It takes great effort. It takes effort like none other, and it's worth it. And that's what I will do. That's what I know you will do. We will continue to press. But if Jesus says that, "Son, I just want to let you know I'm coming today. Give me a call, give you a call," I say, "Come on down. Come and get us. Come and get us." Now, my heart would hurt for those who are lost, but the thing about that is, if they had opportunity, then there's nothing else that we can do. I would welcome His coming. The return of the Lord Jesus is imminent. The return of the Lord Jesus is the blessed hope of the church. It's our confident expectation. It's not, "Well, I hope He'll come one day." It's, "He's coming one day." And because of that, we ought to purify ourselves even as He is pure. And that's the struggle, isn't it? To be quite honest with you, it is a struggle, Brother CJ. I mean, even from up here, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. You realize that the flesh you're living in, it combats you every day. Paul said it best. He says, "Man," he says, I have on the inside of me someone telling me to do good. I want to do good, but every time I'll go to do good, the bad part of me says to do bad. Don't do that, and this did that, and I don't want to do that, and I do this, and I can't believe I did that. Paul said there's a struggle. And this definite struggle is real in the life of every believer. Paul says that I have to buffet myself. That word buffet means to blacken the eye. He says, "Man, sometimes people see me and I'm dragging, I'm hunched over, and I'm just." I heard one time someone said about President Abraham Lincoln. They said that when he walked as a man that was burdened and a man that was mourning or grieving some loss. And I thought about that, and it was really encouraging to me, because if a man like Abraham Lincoln and other great leaders, Winston Churchill, I heard the other day a quote he said, "Every morning I wake up," he says, "I feel like I'm right on the edge. I have to make a decision." That's life. That is the Christian life. We have to make decisions. We have to battle this flesh. We have to examine ourselves. And listen, sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes people, they see me, they say, "Bro Justin, you okay?" And I say, "Yeah, I'm fine. I mean, I'm not going to stop and dump on you about 2 hours worth of stuff I've got. But I want to hear about you and how your day's going." Because we all got stuff. And if someone you see is not doing well, pray for them. Pray for them. Be kind to them. And so this morning we should look ahead, because the Lord's coming. Jesus not only died, was buried, rose again, but is coming back to take us home. And today we are unfinished and undone. We're not what we should be, but when we see Him, we'll be just like Him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. We should look ahead. Number three, we should look within. And we kind of barely mentioned some of this just a moment ago. Notice in verse number 27, we're not going to labor on this long, this particular point. Verse 27 says, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning," that's big here, "not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." These verses are just telling us that during the time we celebrate we observe communion, and what we're doing is a time of self-reflection. It's a time to look within. Paul says to examine ourselves, make sure we meet the qualifications of communion. And the qualifications of communion has to do with the manner by which we are partaken. Verse number 27, there's the word unworthily. Someone said, "Well, I'm not going to have communion today. I want to stand outside in the parking lot. I'm not worthy." Well, won't we all just go out in the parking lot and stand? Ain't none of us worthy. And so the word unworthily doesn't mean how it might sound on the surface. It means irreverently or in an unworthy manner. For someone who is coming to church, playing church, but leaves here and goes to the bar, leaves here and totally disregards everything that was said, just every spiritual aspect, every point made, and they have the mask on in here, then they go out there and do anything they want, and yet they partake in communion. They're doing it irreverently. They're not discerning the Lord's body, because it was for sin that the Lord came. And so when a person is out of step with God and they come and they partake in communion, nobody's worthy, but we can partake in an unworthily manner. And if they partake and they have this other lifestyle, they got to be careful. I believe that. They got to be careful. Because in essence, it is thinking, you're basically saying to God, "God, I know what you did. I know you died on the cross for me, but I'm going to do my own thing. You know, I'll partake in this." And it's that kind of spirit, that ungratefulness, unthankful, proud, arrogant. Anybody ever raising the kids in here? I'm sure, yes. And the biggest thing that will get Lily in trouble is an attitude, this ungrateful spirit. After everything we bought for you, all month long, all year long, you're going to tell me this? You're going to act like that? And I'm just saying that. We hadn't had a moment like that today yet. Hey, we all have our moments in our house. I had a little bitty moment this morning. Just a little one. We all have our moments. And it's that ungrateful spirit, it's that proud spirit, it's that spirit of rebellion, it's that spirit of Cain, it's that spirit of, "I know what you did, but I really don't care." And so the Bible tells us that we need to self-examine. Number one, I don't believe if you're lost, you should observe, because it's for those who've been saved. This ought to be a time of seeing if you even know the Lord. Look on the inside. Ask yourself, if you died today, would heaven be your home? If not, then you need to get saved. Someone will certainly help you with that. But you should not partake. And then for those that are saved, then you're doing it in an unworthy manner. Well, verse 27 says you're guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Verse 28, self-examine. But I love three loves here. I love verse number 31. I believe verse number 31 holds the key for a lot of stuff in our life. There are people, let me mention this. There are people even in our church. They're not here today, but there's people even in our church. Things are just falling apart rapidly. And I go to them at times. We talk, him or her. And I ask them, this is the key. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If I say, oh yeah, I'm the reason. Or if there is this bad relationship, I didn't say marriage, about girlfriend and boyfriend here. We're not talking about any particular person. We're just saying things are not going well, and there's no love, there's no respect, there's violence and hatred. And listen, this is all across the land when it comes to the home. I'm definitely and certainly not saying or condoning that of divorce, but I'm trying to just generalize this, that if we would look in the mirror, if we would say, I have a part in this, I don't care what you do, I'm going to make sure I'm right with God, I repent, I confess, I've done my part. The Bible says that if we would judge ourselves, then we have lifted the hand of the Lord in His correction from our life. I believe this morning the reason why, not just here, but for those who know the Lord in this world that are suffering some of the biggest times of adversity, not the primary reason, just could be one reason, is because of unconfessed sin. They think because God hasn't called their number yet, hasn't chastened them yet, that they're getting away with it. I want to say this morning. You have an obligation to the Lord Jesus only. And it doesn't matter what this one done, doesn't matter what that one done. It's your walk with the Lord. What are you going to do with your walk with the Lord? Confess it. Lord, I'm owning up to my part. Lord, I don't want you to judge me, to chasten me. When something goes haywire in my life, I don't want to have to wonder, is it God's judgment or is it just a storm of providence? You know what I'm saying? I want to know that whenever life falls apart on my street, I'm confessed up to date. I'm not perfect, but it's all laid out there on the line, nothing hidden. I want to be able to say, well, this isn't a storm of correction. This is a storm of providence. Does that make sense this morning? So, Paul says that we have to do this. Y'all just hang in there. I'm almost done. And Paul says in verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I do believe in the sin unto death. I do believe that drugs, alcohol, things of this world, the world system and way of thinking, over time it has a way of wearing you down and breaking you down. And so we have to go in the ways of the Lord and not go in the ways of the world. We have to be contenders this morning. If we say we're Christians, let us stand up and fight. Don't just succumb and say, well, mama did it, daddy did it, everybody else did it, so I guess I'm just hardwired. this way. No doubt there's generational problems and struggles, but this morning, on Christmas morning, draw the line and say, I'm moving forward. I'm not going to be like mom and daddy. I'm not going to be like anyone in my family. I want to be like Jesus. We had a visit Wednesday night. I'm trying to hurry up, church. We had a visit Wednesday night with my grandparents, me and Lily, Christy, working over. And my grandpa, he's got dementia, and he's starting to, you know, go through all that. He went from big old strong truck driver, big thick black hair, long sideburns, to this skinny, shaky man. It's hard. Had an uncle in the back room, bound to a bed in a wheelchair. God saved me 20 years ago. He's living in my old bedroom. I know how dark it is in that room. I know how depressing it is. My grandparents have buried three of their kids. My mom, of course, my mom's sister and my mom's brother. So there's two left. And there lie Cliff. Yeah, I was thinking, gosh, how depressing. I've witnessed to him before. I witnessed to my grandpa. The very morning we got married. It's like every time I talk to him, he just don't get it. I don't know what the problem is. Unless God does something now, I was looking at a man going to hell. It's hard. It's just hard. But that was my place. That's where I lived for 20 years. And from time to time, it really, really cuts you deep when you think about it in the condition of some of our loved ones. And so we had a good visit the other day on Wednesday with them, and the Lord really just spoke to us. But when it comes to this chasing of the Lord, when it comes to the world and the world system, when it comes to what life has to offer, you just begin to wonder when they will get it. And so we just hope that the Lord will work in that situation. Saying all that, my original point was, I get chase these rabbits, get out there. Can't get my way back in. But we should look within. Paul says, examine. The manner is in, do not observe in an unworthily manner. He talks about the exam, the qualifications. You must be saved. You must be confessed, up to date. Let me mention one more thing, and we'll be through this morning. We see these things when it comes to the Lord's table. We should look back. We should look ahead. We should look within, but then we should look around. We should look around. Verse number 33 says this: Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. We should look around. We should not criticize one another, but we should discern the Lord's body. The Lord's body is what? The bread. Okay? But we're also the bread, because we're the spiritual body of Christ. And if I'm a foot and Miss Catherine is a hand, then I ought to check in with Miss Catherine from time to time, ask her how she's doing. I ought to be concerned with her. And we have ears and eyes, we have toes, we have the whole body. Christ is the loaf, and we're part of the loaf. We have a loaf of bread, and we're all slice. How about that? And so this morning, Christ is the loaf. We're part of the, we're just a slice of that loaf. As a body is together, so the church should be together in unity. And so he ends this chapter, and he says that, verse 33 and 34. He says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry. Wait for one another. Verse 34, someone's hungry. I'm paraphrasing here. Let them eat at home. So that when you come together, it's not unto condemnation. The rest will I set order when I come. That's the message this morning. I hope that it was a help to you. I apologize. Sometimes I go off on a limb and I have a lot of emotions and I forget where I was going. And so I hope that didn't mess up your train of thinking. Sometimes it just hits me. And then I get so far out there, I can't remember where I went. But nonetheless, it's been good to be here this morning. Merry Christmas to you. Hope you enjoy communion. Let's all stand to our feet and we'll be dismissed. We'll have a song of invitation. Ain't gonna let you go yet. Instrumental, whatever y'all want to do.